Welcome to episode 62 of the Geeks for the Win podcast. I am William, and I am joined with Stuart.
Normal party inertia is casual terror with food in my mouth.
And Henry.
What's up, people? It's Knox.
Finally, Henry is back.
Yeah, man, what's going on, man? Yeah. Hey, man, potty training two-year-olds is not fun.
Yeah.
Now, well, I mean, listeners want to listen to tinkling on the podcast.
I'm sure that would be a lot better than what we had last week, but but you know, we did have Vic Joe on the podcast in your absence 1 week, and then last week we did whatever the heck we did. Something interesting, to say the least. But yeah, I guess, you know, we're back finally to do a normal show with the normal crew. And I guess, how have you been, Henry? Since you haven't been here the last 2 weeks, I'm sure you got a lot of stuff to talk about.
Oh yeah, man. I've been good though, man. I've been playing a lot and doing a lot, man. You know, I mean, you know, a father's job is never done. So, you know, just taking care of stuff at home, man, taking care of, you know, my son, getting him going, trying to figure out schedules, you know, with doing this podcast and doing everything else around the house. And like I say, I don't want to have the listeners having to listen to, you know, cries and, you know, laughs and giggles every 5 minutes. So, you know. But yeah, man, I've been as far as gaming, man, it's been a lot. Like that Xbox Live Arcade sale that came out, they had some really good titles on that sale. Did you guys see that sale? I think what was that last week, I believe, or the week before that?
Yeah, I picked up
where it had Shank, Outland. What does it have on it?
Doom 2.
Yeah, Doom 2. I already had that one though. Or was that Doom? Was that Doom 2 or Doom 1? Either way. Yeah, I've been really just paying Shank and Outland, and Torchlight was $5. I tried to get Hydrophobia, but I don't know if that was just a one-day sale or something, but it was like $3. And then, like, when I woke up that Saturday morning to actually, you know, play the demo, and then I played the demo, I liked it, and I was going to buy it, but it went back up from $3 to $10. And I'm like, no, I'm not paying $10 for that game. But I would have paid $3 for it, but I wouldn't have paid $10. But so I picked up Torchlight, I picked up Shank, I picked up Outland, and one other game I can't think of what it was. But man, I was missing out on those games, man. I guess I'll just start with Outland. Have you guys ever seen Outland before?
No.
It's like I would encourage anybody to play the demo. I bought it for $5. I think it's originally maybe $10 or whatever, but this game is worth $10 from what I can see. If you just want something fun to kind of play through, like, it's kind of like, if I can describe it, the easiest way to describe it is imagine Shadow Complex without guns and in the jungle. Like, you have a progression system, you level up, you do this, you find secret items, all the same stuff that you do in Shadow Complex, but the art style and the story is what sells this game. Like, it's just amazing. Like, it's supposed to be some kind of mystical world where your ancestors have different powers and you absorb different powers from like the world and stuff like that, and you travel through time to figure out, and you basically inhabit your ancestors' bodies, and you basically get different powers from them. And then from that, when you transfer back to your own time period, the story kind of plays out where these two sisters of the stars in heaven made the earth, and they started to fight and everything, which caused kind of a rift in power. Well, you've been blessed with the ability to have it's like a blue and red power. I forget what they call it, but you have the blue power, the red power, and it plays a role in like the puzzle solving elements. Like, you have these platforms where you tap the RB button and you switch from your blue power to your red power, and depending on what platform you stand on, when you change to blue, that activates the platform to go up and down and so on and so forth. So you solve a lot of puzzles like that. And then when you're fighting enemies, you'll see some enemies will be red, so you have to switch to blue because that counteracts the red, and then vice versa. So it's a pretty intelligent made game. Like, I mean, you're running through, but it doesn't make it feel so complex that you can't finish it though. Like, it's really, really simplistic, but what they're doing in the game is complex though. But it's cool. And Shank is just Shank is just button mashing combo fun, man. Like, some of the later stages in Shank get kind of hard, but for the most part, I've been playing it on normal. I'm probably gonna do a hardcore run through after I beat it on normal, but this game is really, really good. Like I said, I bought it for $5. Playing through it is pretty fun, man. You play as Shank. The beginning of the game starts off kind of like Desperado. And it kind of has a Cartoon Network kind of Johnny Bravo drawn Dexter and Dee Dee's Lab kind of feel to it. And the reason why it has that feel is because one of the animators from Cartoon Network Studios animated this game. Shadows and everything are colored perfectly in this game. It has a depth of 3D, but it's a completely 2D game. But you can tell that the animator knew what they were doing, and it doesn't look like you ever play like a game like Guilty Gear X, or you know, one of those side scrollers where like the image, you can tell like when the camera zooms in, you can tell they didn't put a high res image in there because it gets real blocky.
Yeah,
that never happens on this game. Like, it's in full HD. All the images, including the characters, the bosses, even when you zoom in, look beautiful. Whether it's zoomed in or not, whether you're fighting 10 guys on screen or one guy on screen, it looks awesome. Like, it has a pretty good story too. Like, I mean, it's pretty funny. The story starts off, and this is in the first like 5 minutes of the game. If you played it, you can play the trial and get this much, but. They take your wife or your girlfriend or whatever. I don't know who she is or whatever, but they take her. Then, of course, Shank is, you know, out for blood. He's out for revenge. He's going through killing guys and everything. And that's pretty much how the story goes. And different stuff happens throughout the story. The comedy is kind of sometimes it's hit or miss. It's not like to like the level of like a Twisted Pixel, but it is still funny, though, you know, and you play through the story as Shank, and they have a co-op thing too. I haven't played any of that because I don't know of anybody who has Shank, but I'm curious to see what the co-op is. But the co-op is supposed to continue on the story, though. I'm sorry, the co-op is supposed to give a prequel to the story, so I'm curious to play that. But Torchlight, I just bought it because it was cheap.
It's a PC game. Yeah, I haven't played it. I haven't tried it on the 360, but it you know, it played perfectly on the PC. So
yeah, I mean it played well. I just got to get back into that whole RPG skill tree Dragon Age type dynamic, and I just after coming off you know button masher like Shank and like, you know, a game as simple as Outland, I kind of got in Torchlight. I should have played that one first. I got in Torchlight, I was like, yeah, I'm going back to Shank. So but it'll be there so I can play it, so I'll kind of, you know, breeze through that too. But I think as far as gaming, that's about it, man. And I guess the world was shocked this past week when they announced the iPhone 4S. So,
I'm not shocked.
You know, oh, you mean to tell me it's not an iPhone 5?
They were underwhelmed.
It's not an iPhone 5. It's the iPhone 4S. You knew it was coming.
No, it's the iPhone for Steve.
I know, right? Yeah, but I mean, it's not a big deal to me. I'm not getting the iPhone 4S. The only thing that's changed, it's got the same A5 processor. The only thing that's changed is now you can do 1080p.
That's new.
Well, it's got the iPad 2. The A5 is from the iPad 2.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, well, I don't know. It's not
There's
that
big. There's not much, yeah.
I'm just waiting on the 4-inch screen and the A6 processor, and then I'll jump on board when the iPhone 5 comes out, because I think that's what the iPhone 5 is going to have in it.
No.
I just need that. I just need that 4-inch screen, man.
Sorry, however you pronounce the name of that, the assistant, whatever.
Siri.
That looks awesome.
Yeah.
That would be, I think, like the biggest thing about the 4S.
I just need the 4-inch screen, man, because I don't want to buy a tablet. Like, I just really don't want to buy a tablet because I don't want to carry around two different devices. I know it wouldn't be that difficult, but if I had that 4-inch screen, I mean, a 4-inch screen is 2.2 inches more than the PSP Go. And I think if I had a 4-inch screen, I would just be a lot happier watching HD videos and stuff like that. And that would kind of, you know, keep me at the iPod, iPhone level and not have me go out and buy an iPad. That's the only thing I'm waiting on. It's just that 4-inch screen. That's the only thing I'm waiting on.
I'm not sure if the thing with Apple is they like their devices to be a certain look and all that, and I'm sure it's just a lot harder for them to keep that type of look, you know, with a bigger screen. I'm sure that's what's taking them so long.
Well, see, that's the reason why everybody thought that the iPhone 4S was going to have a 4-inch screen, because they made a good point. Like, because they're supposed to be trying to do some kind of they're supposed to have like a main button, but the main button is not supposed to be round anymore. It's supposed to be like a little thin rectangle. So they say if you look at that and you look at the amount of space that's needed for the top and bottom, if they were exactly the same with the kind of squared off ear receiver and the squared off main button, if they made it a square, you could fit a 4-inch screen on the iPhone. And those two little black bands on the side, like realistically a 3GS could have a 4-inch screen if they just moved it up just an inch on the top and bottom. So I think it's possible. I don't know.
Yeah, if Siri was that great, I mean, why couldn't you just get rid of the button and just say home?
I know. What about the people that can't talk, huh?
Why would they need phones if they can't talk?
Texting.
So they could play Angry Birds.
they could text everybody.
I know, right? Yeah, that's true. That is true.
But yeah, that's the reason why I can't wait to get my phone tomorrow. It's a 4.5.
Yeah. See, that's what I'm looking for.
But what else? What else is up with you? Watch anything good?
Yeah, I've been watching Breaking Bad, man. Me and the wife have been. Man, sunk inside Breaking Bad because we finished Mad Men finally. Finished season 4, and let me just point out, I'm not gonna get any spoilers here or whatever, but just really really quick, I don't know what the heck is wrong with Don Draper, but he needs to get his stuff together. I don't understand that dude. You know Robbie Joe, Paris, whoever watches Mad Men, tell me what's wrong with your boy, man, because he just don't. I just don't understand. Like, he has everything.
He likes living on the edge. That's
right. It's just, but the edge, like, he's already been there and fell off. Like, hasn't he learned his lesson? You know? So, I mean, I'm just saying, I don't want to give the Mad Men talk, but at first, I thought Don Draper was cool. He had swagger. He was doing his thing. He had his job right and everything. But, like, now he's just like a, I don't know. I guess that's where they want to go with the show, because, like, my anger has switched from Don Draper is horrible. Now it switched from Betty is just a big whiny brat, man. She's getting my nerves, man. Oh my God. Like, oh man, don't even get me started. But what's wrong with Don Draper? That is the question. What the heck is wrong with this dude? Can he make up his mind? Can he do something right? We'll have to see on season 5. So
I don't know, but
I'm still on season 1, so he's still cool to me.
Yeah, but back to Breaking Bad. How far are you?
I'm on we're in the middle of season 2. I won't give any spoilers away, but we're in the middle of season 2. Probably not middle, but probably about the first 3 or 4 episodes of season 2. We're at the part where trying to say this without giving that much. We're at the part where he finds the lawyer, and the lawyer and him have a mutual interest. Yeah, and so they figure out they have a mutual interest, and they become business partners. And, you know, they just had a
– Wasn't that a clever way of how they found the lawyer?
I know, right?
Whole situation.
Yeah.
Oh, the lawyer becomes a great character, though.
Oh, yeah. That dude is funny.
Real quick, how do you feel about Walt? Like, what are your feelings towards him as of, like, right now?
I feel that Walt is—he hasn't yet become the man that I think he's going to be. But let's just say Walt is a very different Walt from when this thing first started.
Do you like him? Is he a likable character for you right now?
Yeah, he's at this point, Walt is still a likable character to me, and only because of the fact that Walt is the backbone and the structure of the business that they're in. Without Walt, a lot of things would be left out of place, and there would be no structure to it. And I think
there would be no show.
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying, I mean, as far as what he's in and who he's in business with, Walt is like the driving force, and he's learning himself how to conduct himself as a newfound drug dealer. So he's learning, but he uses a level of a level of discretion and smartness that his counterparts don't even have a clue how to do. So I'm still liking his character, but as far as a husband, as far as a family man, he's messing up, dude. I don't know why. I mean, he has really nothing to lose at this point. I don't know why he just won't just let it out. I mean, because his wife seems cool. His son seems cool. I don't think that they would even have a problem with it, dude. Like, I mean, to be honest. I mean,
his brother-in-law is a DEA agent, so.
Exactly. I know that, but I'm saying we've seen Skylar get down and dirty when she could. She can keep a secret. So, well,
you haven't.
I'll just leave that at that, you know.
Maybe not, you know. Who knows? You still have, you know, season and a half to get through.
Yeah, I do.
Right now, I just, you know, yesterday I got done watching the season finale of season four.
Oh, man.
I hate Walt. The director said this is, you know, like Scarface, and it's going to be the rise and fall of Walt. And I'm looking forward to his fall right now because the last scene they had, the last scene of that episode just changed my opinion on Walt. No one around. It just showed a certain thing. No voice, nothing. Just, you know, two seconds, basically.
So is he less Walt and more Heisenberg now? Would you probably say that he's more Heisenberg? He's taking on that role.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah, I would say that he's becoming. Yeah, he's basically Heisenberg. I mean. Yeah, that's basically it. And I really am looking forward to seeing him get what it comes to him, because for almost this whole season, I've just root for him because, you know, he's always seemed like the underdog and seemed like a kind, nice guy, just bad luck and wrong place, wrong time type of stuff. And you know, looking back at it now, from what I've seen, that it's amazing the whole difference it is. But yeah, I definitely can't wait to talk more Breaking Bad. Stuart needs to start watching more of that too. He's only seen the first season.
Yeah,
buddy, gotta watch it.
There's so much stuff I need to watch right now, plus games I have to play.
Yeah.
This is what I do to kind of help me out as far as my gaming and watching stuff, like. My gaming is like the stuff that I kind of, you know, stay up and do, like on close to the weekends, stuff like that and everything. I knock out a bunch of hours of that and everything. As far as TV shows, that's like the perfect sit down family time where I can still watch stuff back and forth, you know, and then like at nighttime when I'm kind of winding down, that's when I can blow through about two or three good ones, man. Like I'm talking about episodes a night, just blow through them because it's real easy because everything's mellow. The whole house is quiet. You know, you can sit down even more, you know, and just be like, okay, well, I'm going to bang through three or four episodes. Do that every other day or every 2 days, you'll be good.
Definitely.
Especially with anime. I mean, anime is all, it's like, what, 22 minutes long? Most of them are?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, but definitely can't wait for you to catch up so we can have because I really would love to know your opinion on everything, you know, after you've seen the fourth season.
It's crazy.
That last episode is ridiculous. You know, I was kind of hoping they would, you know, before it premiered that they would do like a special, you know, 2 hour finale or whatever, but they didn't need it. You know, one hour was plenty.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man. So. See, now you're going to make me go on Zoom Marketplace after I finish season three and go buy it. Gosh, darn you, Microsoft.
Hey, they make it easy and it's affordable.
I know.
But so what else?
Well, I mean, just speaking of TV, I know we touched on it briefly when we were in the bonus content. But what do you guys think about the link that I sent you about the Xbox Live TV?
I'm excited. Hopefully, you know, not all of it is paid stuff. Hopefully there's a good chunk of free stuff because I do not have cable, so I just have internet.
Yeah, me either. So any opportunity I can get free stuff on TV content, I'm all for it. I'm already paying for Xbox Live Gold anyway, so whatever they give me, bring on the goods, man.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I mean, we're getting YouTube, Crackle,
That alone should be, you know, a lot. Bring a lot more. Because, you know, YouTube, there's all kinds of anime. People upload anime on YouTube.
True.
So.
Yeah, that's true.
But
I turned my Xbox on today, and I got the little pre-update they always do. You know, they do the update before the update to get you ready for it.
I got that.
I need to do that.
Yeah. And make sure you connect to it, get the update. It takes like maybe 20 seconds or something like that. Yeah. Got that. And Forza Motorsport, man. So what's
up, Stu? Let's talk Forza. Let's talk Forza.
I'll let you go ahead and Stu, you can go ahead and start your
it'll banter. Talk about it and it'll transition into Stuart.
Right, there you go.
Exactly.
Go ahead. Well, no, I mean I picked up Forza from GameStop, pre-ordered. I didn't get the special edition, nothing like that or whatever. I didn't really see an advantage. I don't want any car art books because, let me tell you, you don't need it with Auto Vista mode.
Did you see how much that is, though?
How much the special edition is?
Yeah, I don't know if I was looking at something at some insane price, but I saw like $300-something.
Oh yeah, no, that's crazy. No, it's $89.99 in the store, so that's probably like a price they put on Amazon just to keep people away from it. Because, you know, Amazon, they after the week of, they shut down all pre-orders on any special edition and stuff like that. So, yeah, no, it was something stupid. You can still find it.
Okay.
Maybe you saw, like, a special edition with, like, a steering wheel or something.
Could have been.
Maybe so. Yeah. But all the other extra stuff, like, you know, pictures and lithographs and art books, I don't need that stuff. Because Auto Vista mode is, I mean, to me, that's what I've been playing the whole time I've been playing it. Like, beautiful. I'm in Auto Vista mode, and it is absolutely beautiful, like Stuart said. I mean, not only that, but they describe each and every piece of the car. They describe how the car handles. They give you the history of it. They give you a brief synopsis of how it was made, where it was made from. And they are not, like, it's the guy from Top Gear. What's the gentleman's name?
Jeremy Clarkson,
man. That dude is, like, you can tell that he came into the studio, and he said... You can tell he probably told those guys, or they probably said, dude, just do what you do. Just say what you say.
Yes, he did.
Here's the car, because he rags on a lot of cars. Like, he calls them rubbish. He says that the design is dumb. Like, he even rags on a bunch of the names. It says that the name is dumb. Like, there's a car called the Gourmand or something like that or whatever. I'm probably pronouncing it wrong. But this dude, he's like wailing. He's like, this car would have been good if the name was better. You don't name your car after Spanx or something like that. Like that. No, like,
dude, that is actually how he is exactly on the show.
Exactly.
And I'm a big Top Gear fan.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh yes.
No,
because when you do like the worst one that I've heard so far, and I need four, I need to unlock four more cars. I unlocked the DeLorean because you have to go around this track, you have to hit these cones, stuff, and everything.
He rags
for a whole 60 seconds about the DeLorean. Like,
I can't.
He calls it rubbish. He calls the inner workings trash. He says that when American viewers saw it for the first time, they thought it was ugly. This car was not supposed to be made. It's absolutely horrible. The engine horsepower is ridiculous. Like, oh my God. I mean, it's so funny. And I love that because it's about cars. It's about car lovers and people who know about cars. Like, I have learned so much about cars within the last 20 minutes of me playing Fords, and I've probably learned from any other car show other than Top Gear. So
I haven't spent a lot of time in Auto Vista mode, but I did see the Ford GT one, which, you know, Jeremy Clarkson, he even said, you know, like, I bought this car. But I kind of wish he would have ragged on it more because, you know, during the show.
Well, he even tried. He said that the folder, I'm sorry, the Ford GT was actually designed to specifically, like, he said that Ford's owner literally went into the warehouse and then wrote the guys a blank check and said, make a car that can beat the Ferrari, period.
And they did.
And they did. And then not only did they do that, but it beat it four times in a row. Like, and he was like, it's, you know, normally, you know, American cars are heavy and horrible and they make ugly cars. But he said that's the reason why I bought this car, because it clearly was the better performance car of those 4 years. And it proved it every single time. And I'm like, but I'm wow. Like,
what he didn't say was that, okay, he's actually a really tall guy. And if you notice, like, the way that the doors open up, like part of the roof comes comes with it.
Yeah,
like, his head comes in a bit. Like, he has to duck down to shut the doors. But, like, the gas, he said, like, he has to fill up on the way to work and then fill up again to go home.
Oh, wow.
So.
I mean, well, if you're buying a $150,000 car, you got it to blow, so. You can put a little gas in it.
Yeah, but he also sold it too. So.
Yeah, but what'd you think about the actual tracks and the new lighting engine and the racing?
It's a beautiful game. My dad has never played the last game that he played was Gran Turismo.
Oh wow, Gran Turismo 1?
Yes, 1.
Wow.
And he played that one to death. So I got this game in the mail. I put it in. I did that first starter race. Then he sat down right next to me and goes, "Gimme, gimme, 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 gimme."
my wife was the same way. She saw me racing and she's like, "Okay." And she's like looking, and I'm like looking at the expression on her face, and I'm like, "Why are you looking like this?" She's like, "Okay. I know that you're playing the game, but is this like pre-recorded or something?" I'm like, "No, this is rendered in real time. This is a real game." She's like, "No, this is no. This is a real game." And so she's like, "Well, you know, do you have a wheel?" I'm like, "No, I don't have a wheel. I got rid of my old Microsoft one. It's the first Forza I've bought in a while, other than Forza 3. So it's been 2 years." Da da da. I'm like, "Well, it has Kinect controls, and that's the thing I like about this game." My wife sat there on my profile and played 3 races of Auto Vista with Kinect, and got in first place every time on medium. Even she can jump in. It's terribly casual, but guess what? I can jump in with my wheel or with my controller. I can bump it up to expert, take all the handling stuff off, all the assist and everything off, and it's a simulation game. But that's the depth, that's the broadness of Forza Motorsport. Like, I know I'm sounding totally fanboy right now, but if you just play this game, like, you can play it however low you want to play it to however high you want to play it. You can tinker in the warehouse and increase your wheel management, your rubber tread, your suspension, your drift, or you can just say upgrade and press one button and everything's done for you. Yeah. Like, it's, this game is awesome, man. You know, yeah. I just can't praise it enough, but I'm gonna stop for it. I keep going.
Willie, do you have any questions?
Huh? What? Oh, I
dozed
off for a second. Yeah, I'm really not a racing fan. I mean, yes, I'm not saying it's horrible.
I'm not either.
I'm just, you know, I mean, I'll play, you know, I played Blur and enjoyed it, and I'll play some of the arcade type stuff every now and then, but I'm just not, you know, I'm just not a car guy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and like, I just will say this, that you don't have to be a quote unquote car guy in order to love this game. But if you like the idea of cars, and if you like, you know, I guess the lore and the excitement of cars and the level of speed and stuff like that, like, if you play Need for Speed High Pursuit, or if you played Need for Speed Shift or Dirt or something like that or whatever, you would absolutely love this game. Now, two qualms that I will say, and I talked to Ace about this. A premium car on GT5, like the premium BMWs and stuff like that, I haven't compared them physically yet with my TV, but from what I can remember, GT5, and I'm saying this with a minuscule grain of salt, looks a tad bit better in the premium car stances compared to some of the cars in the Auto Vista. But I will say this: if you set it to easy, most of the stuff, you might get some extra drifting and you might get some pullback on some of the cars. So if you set it to that, you might want to set your settings different or whatever. But for somebody like you, William, who's not like a car guy, I would really just say play the demo, put it on easy. Check out the Ferrari, see how you like it, because that car has one of the best handling suspensions on there. And just check it out, man. You can do Rivals mode on there. And like Rivals mode is where you can challenge me and like my best time, and I can challenge you back and forth and go back and forth. So that's a little bit more arcadey than like actually having to, you know, full on, you know when to brake, shift, brake out, hard brake, you know, all that stuff and everything. If you don't want to do that, you can just play it in Rivals mode or co-op or whatever. Or I'm sorry, not co-op, but like multiplayer, and do like time trials and stuff like that. But you know, it is a simulation racer. So if you're not into simulation, I would say approach the demo. The demo, of course, is free, and it'll give you a good idea of what you're getting into.
Yeah. Real quick, I have some breaking news.
Hold on. I actually have music for this.
Alrighty. I know, Stuart, this will please you. There is now a Marvel Comics app for Android.
Yes.
Available right now. I sent you the link, so
downloading.
I figured since it's Stuart's turn and I saw this, I figured Stuart would love this. So yeah, that's it.
And I will say that sound effect is Morse code for "this just in" on Geeks for the Win.
You actually made that?
I did.
Wow, awesome. I have no idea about Morse code, so I'll take your word for it. You know? Do you know about Morse code, Henry?
Can't say that I do, brother.
So he could just be lying to us, and we wouldn't even know.
I went to a website that will actually convert like text.
Oh, okay. So you didn't do it like yourself, like create the actual beep beeps. You just okay. That's less impressive. But
see it on the marketplace. Wait, Marvel Comics? Right there it is.
I bet.
This is fascinating radio.
But anyways, I cut the silences out, so yeah. But so Stuart, can you talk while you look at this
downloading
app?
Downloading. Okay. Yes.
Well, what else have you been doing lately?
We got into comics, so I read Action Comics number 2 and Detective Comics number 2. Action Comics is my number 2 comic of the new 52. I'm loving the Action Comics. That's a Superman story.
I was thinking it was Superman.
Yes, it is.
And Detective is Batman. Is
Batman.
Yeah,
but that's not to be confused with Batman and Superman, because there's also Batman number 1 and Batman number 1, or Superman number 1, Batman number 1. There we go.
So there's two Batman and Superman comics.
There's two Superman and like four Batmans.
Wow,
so
that's crazy.
I'm not, you know, like, well, where does this fit into this universe? I'm not even going. Nope, just going to avoid it. I'm sticking with this one comic.
Good deal.
But if you remember back when Detective Comics number 1 came out, I was very iffy about it. I didn't hate it, but I didn't think it was quite that great, and I was going to give it another shot, and I'm glad I did, because I think Detective Comics number 2 way more suspenseful than 1 was.
Hmm.
It introduces a brand new villain that has never been seen before, so like they created a brand new person for this.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Named the Dollmaker. And he's kind of like, I don't know, almost like a Leatherface kind of person. Like, he takes people's skins and sews them together, and it's kind of gross.
Huh, that's a bit weird.
See, Action Comics, that one, Superman got captured by the government. This also takes place like 6 years ago, so this is like, they don't know who Superman is. And, like, they think, you know, he's, you know, they know he's an alien because they found his ship, but they don't know if he, you know, they think he's, you know, it's the government against an alien. He's there for bad stuff, obviously. And it's funny because Lex Luthor's there and he says, you know, oh, you're just in human form. We know what you actually look like. And they bring the skeletal remains of Crypto. Like, this is your true form, right? And Superman just laughs at him.
It's a dog. That's funny. That is pretty funny. So you said Action Comics is number two?
Yes, this was Action Comics number two.
No, I mean, is number two for you?
Oh, yes.
What's number one?
Justice League.
Oh, okay.
Let's see, what else have I done?
I can afford to pick up two.
Yeah, well, like, if you go week by week, like when they come out, it's actually not that expensive. Because, like, you know, sometimes I'll walk in there and walk out with, like, one. That's, like, what, two, like, $3-4? So, let's see, what else have I done? TV. I watched all of season one of Marvel Superhero, like, the Avengers.
Oh, yeah? I'm not sure if I watched all of season one. I know I've watched a good amount of it. It's pretty good.
Yeah, I watched a couple episodes. Yeah, they are good.
Yeah, when I went into it, I was for some strange reason, I was expecting Superhero Squad.
No.
Which it's thankfully not.
That's the cartoony one, right? Or the kiddie one?
Yeah, that's the, you know, action heroes, whatever that toy is, only in cartoon form. But yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to season two, which comes out this month, I think.
Oh, really?
It's going to come out on Netflix or on TV?
No, on TNTV.
Oh, okay.
Let's see, I also started watching last night Wolverine and the X-Men.
Yeah, I think Scarfinger said he started watching that, so I'm hearing good stuff about it.
Like, I watched only the first episode, and it was good. It was very good. Supposedly, like, something happened to Jean and Xavier, and they disappeared. Don't know if they're dead, but there was no trace of them at all. And, like, the government is rounding up mutants, yeah, because they're all afraid of them.
Typical X-Men.
Yeah, well, it's like, you know, yeah. Like, so far, the only characters I've actually seen are Wolverine and Beast. Like, in some main action stuff.
How does the show work as far as it being Wolverine and the X-Men? Like, is Wolverine the quote-unquote leader, or is he, like, the forefront guy, or is he still the same Wolverine as always, or have they made him more tame to be the more leadership role?
He's not the leader, but he's trying to get the X-Men back together so they can find Xavier, because, you know, Xavier, like, something happened to him, and then, like, the rest of the show takes place, like, a year later. And, like, everybody just went their separate ways.
Huh.
And so, for some reason, Wolverine just kind of wakes up and goes, oh, hey, we should get the X-Men back together and look for Xavier. Why it took a year? I don't know. But it did. And then it's just the show trying to get them get the X-Men back together right now.
Huh. I just added that to my queue, so I'll be watching it soon.
Yeah, I added yesterday.
One thing I do like about it is there was a brief action scene with Shadowcat, Nightcrawler, and Colossus. They didn't call each other by their call signs or whatever. They called each other by their names, which I kind of liked.
Like, by their actual name?
Yeah, like, you know, Kurt, Cat, and I forget, Peter, that's it.
I think most of the cartoons do that. Even, like, X-Men Evolutions does that. Even I think the 90s X-Men does that, but, like, they call each other, like, Wolverine and you know, stuff like that, like, when they're in the heat of battle, you know, because of course they don't want to give their identities, you know. Actually,
yeah, then it's just Logan when it's
Logan
personal.
Scott,
but I mean, this was, like, you know, in the midst of action.
Oh, okay.
It was Peter, Kurt, and Kat. So, let's see. I think that's about it, other than Forza.
Really.
Nothing's coming to mind, and I know I'm forgetting something.
Breaking Bad.
No.
Oh, go ahead.
No.
False alarm.
I would like to mention, Henry got very angry at me yesterday.
What did I do?
I was playing the Forza demo, and Xbox did something weird with the demo, as it didn't put demo at the end of what you were currently playing. So what Henry saw was Kendra Terror is playing Forza 4. So he's like, I'm going to get you. You got that game early. How'd you do that? No, demo.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it didn't even say demo. It just said Forza 4, then it had the little emblem there. I'm like,
yeah.
I'm like, what?
Oh, day early is nothing. It's, you know, I was telling Stuart, you know, there's games, you know, people get them like weeks early. Like the,
Yeah, my friend, he had Gears like a whole week earlier, like playing it online. I'm like, dude, you're going to get banned one day, dude. It's so stupid. Like,
yeah. I don't think they banned people for playing it because it's not their fault they got it early, you know?
Yeah.
The store should be regulating it, but
yeah.
Oh, I do want to say one thing. Okay, I got Forza from Amazon. It's the first time I actually pre-ordered a game from Amazon. And when it shows me, you know, like, how would you like it shipped? You know, I don't have Prime, so a standard three to five, you know, like $4 shipping and handling.
Really? Because normally I saw it's like 99 cents for...
But when I selected day of release, which was sooner than 3 to 5 days, when I selected day of release, it was 50 cents.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Did you get any credit for any Amazon credit with
$10.
It? $10. All right. Awesome. Yeah, that's the thing, you know. The only incentive to pre-order anything or get something, you know, day one is if you can get credit at certain places. I mean, back when I lived in my hometown before I moved, Kmart was the place to go because they would. I mean, I just saw earlier today that, you know, Forza, they were given $20 credit, you know, and they would do that a lot, 20, 25, 15, for like almost every game. So, you know, you buy one game full price and then you can keep on buying other games basically discounted.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like that's what the pre-order stuff is transitioning to. Like, I remember back in the days, you know, when like Funko Land was like still major and stuff like that. Even EB Games back in the mid 90s, you know, it was like, I mean, you had to pre-order games like Halo or games like, you know, Gran Turismo, because if you didn't, you didn't have that game on launch day. Because if you went to Best Buy or GameStop or what, you know, Walmart, Kmart, they didn't have anymore. You know, Toys R Us didn't have anymore. But like now, it's like video games are so prevalent. Like, it's like now, and I personally love it because they're giving games. I mean, I'm sorry, they're giving gamers more incentive to buy and to pre-order early. Like, they're giving $20. Amazon gives $20. Pre-order bonus content, season passes come in the box for launch people, stuff like that. So,
yeah, definitely. And like I said, most of the main people do something, like Toys R Us. GameStop's really the only place that doesn't really do anything. Like, I don't know why. I don't know why GameStop doesn't, I guess.
Usually because they spend all their money getting the best bonus content. And I have to admit, most times than not, they have the best in-game bonus content. Like, they get the best map packs most of the time, the best weapons and things like that. You know, I could care less about clothing and stuff like that. But I mean, as far as like tangible stuff, like map packs and weapons and things like that, they usually get the pick of the litter. But I like Amazon because they give you cash for it. You know, I mean, you know, you can sacrifice not getting that map pack, but, you know, we'll give you $20 credit and you build that credit up and you get it. Basically, you can wind up getting a free game, you know, if you get enough of them.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Or just, you know, it makes it that $20 credit can make a $60 game, you know, $40. And all of a sudden you're like, well, for 40, you know, I'll definitely, you know, that definitely looks like something I'd like to pick up.
Yeah.
But yeah. But I guess gaming-wise, I really haven't been playing anything. I played a little bit of Gears last week, and I was all set to play Gears, and then I just haven't been in a big gaming mood. And I'm kind of happy my Extra Life is this Saturday, Saturday the 15th. And
yeah,
because I'm going to be getting a lot of gaming done, 24 hours worth, so... Hopefully that'll like jumpstart me back into a gamer, because I've just been, I don't know, I just haven't been feeling like gaming at all. And I mean, I'm on Act Two of Gears, so that's it. I have played a little bit of Horde mode.
Oh, as far as the campaign?
Yeah, haven't touched Beast mode. I mean, that shows you how much I just haven't really felt like gaming.
Yeah, I played the campaign all the way through, just through on hardcore with different people, Scarfinger, Indifference, Ace Black, Van Red, a couple times here and there on Horde mode and stuff like that. But I did a casual mode collectibles run where I got every collectible, and I played my second match of Horde mode the other day. But yeah, it's just hard to get time with all this stuff that's coming out, man.
Yeah, I mean, I played like with what was it? Rastakiller, Forgetful, Robbie Joe, and then Rastakiller left, and
oh yeah,
JC McWild came on, and I guess they have like skulls almost, you know, not skulls, but their version of skulls.
They're called mutations, I believe. Yeah, they're called mutations, because like I was playing a match with Paladin and Van Red, and he had infinite ammo for like the whole Horde match. He had like, you know, like whatever weapons you start off with as far as your default, like you start off with infinite ammo, and as long as you hold and keep that weapon, you have infinite ammo throughout the entire Horde mode until you die.
Yeah,
that was cool.
But you can do it during like I said, insane run and get credit. That's what he was saying, and we did the first act with that. And
oh, cool. Seriously?
Yeah. Yeah. Seriously.
You can put the mutations on campaign?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I thought they were only for still. That's fine. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you get credit apparently. So
yeah, you still get credit for it. Yeah.
He had that, then he had the one where you shoot them and they flowers go everywhere, kind of like
the birthday party.
Yeah. So, you know, that was pretty interesting to see flowers and, you know, flowery images in Gears of War. But
he told me about one where it's like a laugh track. Like he said, after you kill somebody or you kill somebody with like an execution, it's like a laugh track, like, you know, like a studio audience in the background laughing or whatever. But he said that one kind of gets old after a while.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. Maybe, you know, that may be irritating after a bit. But
yeah.
But yeah, that's basically it. I did pick up Doom 2 for, you know, $5 because I love the Doom games, and I really wasn't, you know, I think it was $10 beforehand. You know, before, and I really was like, you know, Doom 2 for $10. I don't think so. You know, that's it's a bit of an old, but $5. You know, $5 is the sweet spot. I'll buy basically almost anything for $5.
Tell you, man, $5 just seems so inviting. Like it's like when you see that 400 Microsoft points, it's like, oh wow, I got 520 points. Oh, I can get that. It's $5.
Yeah,
oh,
I mean,
it's only $5.
After a year, they should lower the games to like $10 if they're $15, and then after 2 years, they should lower them to $5 because that would just mean, you know, people like us would just buy them because they were $5 and, you know, we wouldn't normally buy them, but we would buy them for $5, and that's five extra bucks Microsoft's getting.
Exactly, and they have to see, like, I don't know about you guys, but I know a lot of gamers who, you know, as soon as the stuff goes on sale, it just eat it up, man. Like, I mean, they have to see the potential of reducing the price of these games. Like, I mean, there has to be so much influx of money when they run these things on sale. They even like had like reports of them selling like tons of Avatar items and stuff like that, because when they run it on sale, it's like 80 points a dollar, you know, 40 points a dollar and stuff like that. Like that stuff, people are all over that stuff. And talking about for a game, you know, $3, $5 for a game, I'm all over that, man.
Yeah, I think they're starting to test the waters, you know, because trying to test, like, you know, not go Steam crazy, but, you know, test it out and see how it is. I'm real curious to see what they do, like, this holiday.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure they're going to do, I'm willing to bet they'll have some crazy Steam-like sale. I'm not going to say, you know, close to Steam, as close as we've ever seen Microsoft
Exactly, yeah, as close as you can get Microsoft to budge. But what they ought to do like they do with their retail games, and PSN should do this too. Like they ought to have like downloadable online arcade Platinum Hits games. Like Shadow Complex, that should be at, I say at the most, 750. Platinum Hits. Super Meat Boy, 750 Platinum Hits. Limbo, $5 Platinum Hits. You know what I'm saying? Like, that would be cool if they did like a Platinum Hits section of arcade games.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. I definitely agree. But yeah, not much with gaming a lot this this week, though. I'm starting to make my schedule up. And I'm going to be posting it up so people can see. And if they want to, if people see, Gears of War from 7 to 11 p.m., they can be like, hey, I'll join you with and stuff like that. So I'll definitely be tweeting out my schedule and letting people know. But I guess the main thing I've been doing is, watched Breaking Bad, watched Sons of Anarchy, both great shows. No more Doctor Who, so I'm still a little bummed about that. But I've picked up a new show. It's a bit old, and I've been kicking myself for not watching it sooner. But I've been watching The Big Bang Theory.
Oh yeah, that's so
good. Yeah,
I love that show.
I've caught an episode or two.
I mean, it's just chock full of geeky references.
Yeah, my youngest brother, Technology Wiz, has been trying to get me to watch that show for I don't know how long. And I thought it was stupid. And, like, we watched, like, three episodes together. And I'm like, this is the greatest show I've ever watched before. Like, this show speaks to my heart. Like,
oh, yeah. And they talk about playing Halo. And, when they're playing, when they're playing Halo, it actually sounds like Halo and not like, like some generic 8-bit game.
Generic Mario jumping.
So, I mean, and their comic book talk and tech talk and, a lot of that stuff, granted, I don't understand some of the physics stuff they're talking about, but I mean, everything else, it's just a total geek out show. I'm loving it.
Man, the funniest part of an episode I saw one time was one, I can't think of the main character's name, but it's a skinny guy with the dark hair.
Leonard?
Yeah, him. He had his, I guess it was his homegirl or associate that he knew from college or whatever. And she came over and she was like acting all snobbish towards everybody. But the thing was, she wasn't acting snobbish. She was just like not talking. And the way she put it, she was like, well, I didn't think you guys would understand me because Leonard told me you guys only have your masters. So I was like, wow. Like, man,
I know who you're talking about. And it wasn't Leonard. It was Sheldon.
Oh, yeah.
It was Sheldon.
That was so hilarious, dude. You only have your masters, so you wouldn't understand what I'm talking about. Oh, man.
And what's funny is that girl does have a doctorate.
Yeah. It was so funny, man. Oh, that was hilarious, man.
But yeah, that's my new show. I've been watching that, like I've been watching a couple episodes a night, and I'm on season two already, and it's just getting better and better. I really am surprised. I'm surprised this has been on for 5 years and I just haven't, watched it till now.
Yeah, man.
I'm just surprised how sitcoms have started to come back. I mean, for the longest time, sitcoms were just dead and there were just stupid sitcoms out. And now it's just a lot more coming back. But anyways,
yeah, I actually saw a clip from How I Met Your Mother today. It was how he explains the Ewoks, like how to tell like who likes to eat Ewoks and who doesn't. It was like everybody who was born in like 1970 something does not like did not like the Ewoks. Everyone after likes them because they remind them of their teddy bears because they were all young when they saw the Ewoks. I'm like, you know what? That's kind of true.
I don't think so, because I hate the Ewoks.
No, you're weird.
but anyways, I guess we should hurry up. I guess, real quick, we can touch on the whole Apple thing, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Real quick. iPhone 4S, they didn't, that's it. They didn't announce iPhone 5 along with the 4S.
That would have been kind of dumb, though.
Well, the whole thing was the 4S was going to be a cheaper model. It was going to be like it was going to be a for, you know, for cheap, for you know, to try to get the more casual, you know, cell phone users interested in it. That's what the rumor was.
Yeah, no.
A coworker of mine.
People don't look at history. Like, they always release a first gen, whatever the other gen is, and they release a speedier version, hence the S. Like, this is no shock and no surprise to anyone who has bought Apple or followed Apple for what they do. 3G, 3GS, 4. It's quite natural they're going to release a 4GS. It's natural.
Well, I mean, they only did the S once. I mean, it's
They waited 18 months instead of what they normally wait. That means they should release a 5, right?
Yeah.
No.
Well, don't worry. They'll release a 5 in about 6 months.
Exactly.
So, but I gotta say at least they have dual core now. I mean, you know, they're just you know, they're now just the only a year behind of Android. But I'll leave it there.
Fanboy.
I am a fanboy, and I'll be picking up my 1.5 dual core gigahertz Galaxy S2 smartphone. 4.5 inch screen, not 3.7 is the iPhone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was 2.8, but
well, whatever. But yeah, so I am a fanboy, I don't deny that. But anyways, you know, along with that, you know, day after Steve Jobs passed away.
Yeah.
You know, I've not been an Apple guy. You know, I've owned like 3 iPods. That's it. But I was oddly sad.
Well, I'm really sad when anybody dies, unless they're like a child rapist or serial killer.
But yeah, like you know, like, oh, so like, you know, this guy died today. Oh, okay. Like, you know, Steve's job died. Really? Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah.
I didn't really feel any specific way. I mean, it's always, you know, like, you know, William said, it's always sad when you hear anybody die. But it actually made me learn more about the innovation and the trend setting that Steve Jobs set as far as a precedent in technology. Like, I didn't know, you know, like, you know, the first computers and stuff like that. He had a lot of hand and a lot of ideas and a lot of ingenuity and innovation in that. Then, you know, the iPhone and stuff like that. I mean, he pretty much, you know, after me reading a lot about, you know, his legacy and everything, he pretty much allowed people like us that work in the industry of technology to be themselves. And, you know, hey, he came back in after he had left and came back in. He said, hey, you know, go as far as your brain can take you. You know, throw noodles at the wall all day long and we'll see what sticks. And if it sticks and if it sells and if it's good, then we'll move forward with the next process of trying to bring it to fruition. And if it doesn't, then we'll start back at the drawing board. But you guys have, you know, artistic and technological freedom to do what you think is going to push, you know, the envelope of technology. And that attitude spawned, you know, more ideas and, you know, just everything about what he transitioned Apple to where it is now. It's synonymous because, you know, before time it was just, okay, if you're a video editor, if you're audio editor, if you're a studio guy, then you know that Apple's the best and so on and so forth. But now Apple is synonymous with people who have a smartphone. And that's kind of like in smartphone, you know, the iPhone is like the gateway drug, you know, to tablets and, you know, all this other stuff and everything. I mean, even if you don't stick with iPhone, like most people's nowadays technological, you know how and advancement started with an iPhone. You know what I'm saying? Like it started there and they went and they got a, you know, a Kindle Fire or Android tablet or, you know, whatever. But, you know, it started with Apple, you know, a lot of times, not everybody, but you know, it's just amazing. Me reading what this guy had done for the industry, it was amazing.
Yeah, with Apple, I mean, you know, there were smartphones before the iPhone, but the iPhone is what kicked it in. You know, like this is a viable device. This is going to be what everybody's going to use. I mean, the same with the iPad and tablets. There were tablets before, but the iPad is what kickstarted everybody into liking them. And I might even say same with like laptops. I mean, you know, with like the Apple laptops and notebooks, like those are what really.
I wouldn't go that far.
That's just me. I guess what I think. But
yeah, but I wouldn't go that far with laptops because you know, laptops were you know, laptops were the thing that made laptops, you know, like, well, just because they were portable computing.
I mean, that's what I was saying. Like, you know, there were laptops before, you know, Apple, you know, Apple got into that area. But, you know, I think that's what the Apple is what made it, I think, user friendly. And that's what made everybody try to match them. But that's just my opinion.
Yeah, I think Apple jump started, you know, the actual iPad and the iPhone and stuff like that, as far as those type of smart devices, because, you know, I mean, for years, people were trying to look at that medium. OK, how can I get rid of this laptop and have something that I can use like my phone? And then, you know, even like touchscreen was the biggest innovation of phones, period. I mean, well, if
that type of touchscreen. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You know, 10 years ago, no, I used to sell cell phones. Yeah, I mean, I would laugh at you if you told me that I'm going to give you a phone with no buttons on it. Well, no terrestrial actual, you know, number keys and everything. I would have literally laughed at you. I would have like, what are you talking about? Like, but now it's like second nature. Like, it feels natural. It feels natural to touch everything. Like, it's just cool, the innovation. But Steve Jobs, you know, hey, I mean, you know, he passed away. I mean, but He was up there as far as technological advancements with, you know, the likes of Edison and stuff like that. I mean, he was most definitely a trendsetter, man. And like I said, I mean, the attitude that he had towards technology and towards the people when he came back to Apple really, you know, separated him from a lot of people.
Yeah.
I definitely recommend people go out and watch Pirates of Silicon Valley.
And there's a movie on Hulu Plus, or I think it's on Hulu Regular too. I think it's called Apple Fanboy or something like that, or Mac Heads or whatever.
Yeah.
That one's actually pretty good too. It has a lot of fanboyism in it, but it actually touches on a lot of stuff that we're talking about tonight. So if you want to check that out, it's called Mac Heads. It's on Hulu. It's free. If you got a free account, you can watch it.
It feels natural to touch everything. That's basically probably what a sexual offender would say in court.
Feels natural.
But yeah, I mean, you know, I guess people are just afraid maybe to make any distasteful jokes online, but you know, I haven't seen any. Really?
I have.
Someone came into my work and was saying a couple, and you know, I mean, of course, you know, it's just how you know, just human nature, you know, things just pop in heads, and I thought of something. It's not really a joke, but I thought, you know, if Halloween wasn't if this wasn't too soon to Halloween, I was thinking about dressing up as a zombie Steve Jobs, but it's just a bit too soon, you know.
Well, I did see one on Twitter from, I forget exactly who it was, but it was somebody we all know, said, Steve Jobs' last words: I did not give the green light on the 4S.
Oh yeah, I've heard, you know, the 4S killed Steve Jobs. I've heard that one, and you know, a bunch of other ones. But anyways, yeah, I guess that's about it. You know, like I said, it's sad to see anybody really die if they're not, you know, a rapist or serial killer, but. Anyways, I guess we can move on to I Recommend, which I've been waiting for like 2 weeks now. my pick, which is Buried. And this is an interesting movie. It's, you know, it's not a high budget movie. It's shot in like one location, you know, one basically the entire movie is just like one scene kind of. And, you know, it stars Ryan Reynolds, which, you know, like him or not like him, I know some people do, some people don't. I personally like him as an actor, but he you know, he finds himself, you know, I guess he finds himself buried alive in a coffin, and he was a truck driver for, you know, in Iraq or Middle East, and attacked, and he finds himself buried, and he's having to, you know, basically trying to get his way out of there, and you know, do whatever he has to. So, what did you guys think about this movie?
I thought it was. Me and my wife were on the couch watching it, and this movie, I recommend watching this movie. Just dim the lights or cut the lights off and just really try to get immersed in this movie.
So suspenseful.
Not only suspenseful, but it kind of harkens back to the Kill Bill scene where she got buried alive. And like William said, it's filmed in this one location, this one area. And you can just put yourself in the character's shoes. Like, me and my wife was like, whoa, this movie is like making me claustrophobic. Like, I feel like I cannot breathe. Like, I could only imagine being in that predicament, in that situation. Like, and I'm thinking, like, I'm like freaking out because I'm feeling like I'm claustrophobic watching the character because I'm really immersed in this movie. And it was like late when we watched it, so it was like dark. So all we saw was the screen, and it was just crazy. And the screen was,
you know, it's a dark environment anyways.
Yeah, man. So. It's. I mean, this movie, I recommend anybody watch it. It's a good hour and a half of your time. Ryan Reynolds, he does a fantastic job in this. It feels almost like Phone Booth with Kiefer Sutherland and Colin Farrell, where it's filmed in that one tight space and everything happens there. But this feels way more intense, like, because you think about what would you do, like, you can't do anything, like, you are completely helpless, like, it's just. I don't know, man.
and he's like the only actor. Everyone else is just voice.
Right, exactly.
So
he has to carry the movie.
It's just so unique. I mean, and like you said, you just get into it. Like when the snake came in the coffin.
Oh my God!
It was just crazy, and he poured the liquor and then lit it, and you know, I was just like, no, that's stupid. You're wasting all your oxygen.
Oh man, that's crazy! I mean,
it's definitely a movie you'll scream at the TV, you know, given your ideas and opinions, basically. But
yeah,
what did you think, Stuart?
Okay, I understand why you guys like the movie. I really do.
But you hate it.
But I did not. I honestly did not like this movie at all.
Wow.
Oh wow.
I'm shocked. I'm seriously shocked.
Stuart, are you kidding me?
No, I did not like the movie one bit.
You are gonna have to explain yourself on this one, man. I'm sorry.
Every time he was on the phone, I just kept getting madder and madder. Because he talked to the rudest, most unhelpful people ever.
Not really.
Save one.
Well, that's life. I mean, there's just so many people who, I mean, you know, there's just so many people who are rude because they're living in everyday, you know, everyday America, and they're just not, you know, they have no concept of.
I'm not saying that's not realistic.
Yeah,
and that really pissed me off.
Yeah, I mean, but that's by design. That those scenes are supposed to piss you off because you're putting yourself in the character's shoes.
And I did that quite well.
I did not
like the movie at all.
I'm thinking you just didn't like the way everything was acting. I mean, I think that's the feeling you're supposed to get with this movie is you're not supposed to like the outcome. You're not supposed to like the situation.
Right.
So I didn't. You know, I
went through the entire movie.
I think you probably. That's the point of the movie, though. So as far as it being a good movie, I think it is because it did what it was supposed to. It was supposed to get you upset and get you in that frame of mind and put you in his situation because, you know, he didn't like it. I mean, his own sister-in-law, you know, she was yelling at him and he was just trying to, you know, get her to look up a number. And then he called her back and got the number all calmly and then, you know, cursed her and then hung up. And
I'm a very sympathetic person. Like whenever I see somebody get hurt on screen, I usually like, oh, ouch. And I guess I'm overly sympathetic because, yeah, I did not like this movie one bit.
Well, I mean, as far as the way I see movies and television is it's supposed to, you know, you're supposed to escape reality and it's supposed to, you know, make you forget about. And that's what this did. This put you in, you know, put you in the movie and basically.
And I did not like it. So.
Because the character didn't like it. You're not supposed to like it.
Exactly.
Well, then why is it a good movie if I didn't like it?
But that doesn't. No.
Doesn't make sense. You didn't
know
like
what I'm saying?
Okay.
No, I mean, what I'm actually saying
I did
is
not
that,
like
is that,
this the situation, and the entire movie was that situation.
Right. But don't
so I don't I don't I can't translate that to good movie.
So you can't appreciate that the movie was able to no,
like,
do that.
Like I said, I understand why you guys like it. I'm just saying I didn't.
But I don't know. But
I think we understand. We understand what
you're explaining is that you're saying you didn't like it basically because the movie is doing its job well and
it's doing too good of a job.
Yes.
That it made you not like the situation.
Okay.
It's too good of a movie that you don't
know
like.
That it did just not translate to me as good movie.
I don't know. This is something I can't get on his side with. You know, I can't even see your logic right here. I don't know about Henry, but
no, I understand what he's saying because it's kind of like watching. I can't even put that in issues, but I guess to his point, like it's kind of like watching Marley and Me. Like the whole time you watch this movie, this dog is a terror. It's a pain. It's not funny. I mean, well, at least to me, it wasn't funny. And then like at the end, you know, something tragic happens to this animal. And then you find out at the very last 15 minutes of the movie why this dog was so important. But I didn't like that movie because of that fact, but as a reasoning behind it. But like with this movie was awesome because it made you feel terror, claustrophobia. It made you feel, you know, anger, because if you're in the same situation talking to belligerent attitude-y people, you're going to feel that way. And like that's what made the movie good to me, because it invoked an emotion in me, which I probably would have been the same way he was in that situation.
Well, I guess make the movie
bad, though.
Well, okay, as I said, I'm overly sympathetic. I can easily put myself in his shoes. It also doesn't help that I'm claustrophobic and hate snakes and have a fear of snakes. So
you got a whole lot of cylinders working against you, brother.
Yeah, basically, but...
Oh, man.
But, yeah, I mean, it's obviously an independent movie because you could see... I mean, I would think so. You could see from the, you know... beginning where the way it opened with like the credits and all that. I mean, it was just different. I'm sure, you know, it was real low budget because he was in a coffin, you know,
and they only had to pay like one actor.
But, yeah. And the, I guess voices for other people that really didn't matter. I mean, they could have just been random people, but I mean, I don't know. I just really loved this movie because it was just so suspenseful to the very last.
Okay, here's something.
The end.
When I think of a movie I love, I want to watch it again. I do not want to watch this movie again.
Oh, I've watched this movie again, and it's still, you know, it's still a good movie. Well, we've already established you don't like this movie, so.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know. I'm just shocked that this hasn't really won any major awards or anything like that.
Yeah, it's awesome, man.
Yeah, definitely. So I'm glad at least one of you appreciated it just like I did.
I didn't say I didn't appreciate it for what it was. I'm just saying I didn't like it.
Well, that's what I was saying earlier. I was saying you got to appreciate it because it, you know.
Well, I do.
You may not like the outcome.
Just because
I
appreciate it doesn't mean I think it's a good movie. I appreciate it for it does what it does, and it does it well.
Oh, my head hurts. But, okay. Yeah, just like Knox put in the chat, appreciation equals dislike. Oh.
That's okay. But, so whose pick is it next week?
Oh, I don't know.
I think it's mine.
I forgot. Okay.
And I had a movie last week.
Suddenly not on Netflix.
As we speak, yes, it's on Netflix.
But yeah, Buried, it's on Netflix. You know, people, check it out. Definitely.
Yeah,
90
please
minutes
check
long.
It out. It's good. Oh, is it only 90 minutes?
I think so. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So that's a good little romp.
It's not too long. Yeah.
The imagination. Definitely. Yeah. It's pretty good. Yeah, I'm telling you, dude. I mean, like my wife, she's sitting on the couch and she's like holding her chest because she's like, hold on, we have to pause this movie because this movie is making me claustrophobic. And she's like breathing. I'm like, yeah. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, because I can't even imagine, like. I mean, like, what if none of that stuff happened? I mean, of course, I know it had to happen because it had to be a movie. But can you just imagine like being in a tight space like that? Like what if somebody said, you know, hey, I'll pay you $500 if you lay in this case for 2 hours? Like, I don't think I'd be able to do it, dude. Like, oh my God! Like just to be in that space, how that is like hot and you know loss of air and just feeling the whole you know.
Especially being in another country. Basically, yeah. you know, thousands and thousands of miles away from your home, and you know, your only source of contact is a cell phone, and the battery, you know, keeps getting lower and lower.
Yeah.
And oxygen. I mean, it's just it sucks you in. It definitely does that. But some people might like that. Some people might not. So,
and I was not.
Yeah, we got that. So, your movie.
I think I'm in a definitely a car kind of mood, and it's kind of obvious you guys haven't really watched Top Gear. And
I've seen Top Gear.
Oh, you have seen Top Gear.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I'm not a big car person, but it's an entertaining show. Yeah.
Then making the next selection.
Because I started watching it with because the David Tennant was on it.
Yes.
And I saw the David Tennant one, and then I watched more, and I saw them go to like what was it like. The best roads in the world to drive on.
Okay, yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah, that was a really good one. It was like what, Sweden or some country like that.
They went France, Italy. They went Germany. They went all over.
Yeah.
Crap! I had a nice one. Oh, I can remember what it was now. Troll Hunter. Have you guys seen that movie?
Never seen Troll Hunter. What year was it made?
Last year, 2010.
Oh, I've seen this on Netflix, but I haven't watched it.
Yeah, I haven't seen this yet.
Wait, it's this, Norwegian?
Yes, it is a foreign movie.
Huh. So you haven't seen it?
No, I haven't seen it, but yeah,
So how can you recommend it to us if you haven't seen it?
Because of stuff I've heard, and it's a found footage kind of movie, which I love those movies.
Oh, you mean like first-person camera
mm-hmm.
style?
Like in the vein of, you know, Cloverfield or, you know, Paranormal Activity, Blair Witch, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It made $4 million plus in the box office. Dark Ooh. Fantasy. It looks Ooh. Like Shadow of the Colossus.
Yeah.
$4 million? Huh. Where was it? I had it up on screen. Oh, there we go.
Who knows? Yeah. $4 million may be big by Norwegian standards.
I don't know.
And I have seen a trailer for this, and it looks cool.
It's on Netflix?
Yes, it is.
Okay, cool. I'll check it out.
Okay. I guess Troll Hunter. Oh, or I'm not even going to try to pronounce the original name of it, because it's in parentheses. It's like, I'm not going to even try to pronounce it. Stuart, you want to?
It's pronounced Troll Hunter in Norwegian.
Oh, that's... I don't see how... Okay, but... Alrighty. I guess, do we want to hold off on Geek Question of the Week?
I don't see why.
Since... Oh, okay.
I got answers.
Okay, just Henry has to go soon, so we're probably now. Yeah, real quick, do it.
Let's do it.
What geeky job would you have if you had one?
See, that's a tough one, because like I said before, video game tester would be cool, but you would be stuck playing the same game over and over again, and...
Yeah, you'd be saying, you know, for like the same 25 minutes for about 1,000 hours.
Yeah, and you get paid basically, you know...
Nothing.
Nothing, but I don't know. I probably would love to... like be one of the people to go to like conventions and show off tech and stuff like that. I think that'd be pretty cool. Get to travel to all the different places and
PR, you know. PR for a tech company.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, Henry.
I guess. Yeah, Henry.
I would actually. I thought about this long and hard about video game testers and doing all the stuff at CES shows and stuff like that. But honestly, what I kind of divulged in, know those GPS guys that work for Google and and Magellan and TomTom, where they take those cars and they drive around everywhere and they map the GPS and they take photos and they take like full vision camera pans and everything. Like
street view for Google.
Yeah, I would actually be one of those guys, man, because you get to travel everywhere at the company's expense. You know, Google pays them well. Those guys got to be making, you know, I mean, some money. And then not only that, but you get to see everything. I mean, you get to see how like all your work transfers over to, you know, from, you know, street level to computer. You get to see how it's processed. And I think that would be a pretty cool job, man.
Oh, yeah. Who wouldn't want to take a picture of some guy taking a whiz on the side of the road?
You're going on Google Maps, buddy.
But yeah,
that'd be cool.
Definitely. I didn't think about that. That's a good one, Henry.
Yeah.
So, Stuart, turning the tables on you.
I guess I would like to do something in broadcasting. You know, like not really like be like in front of the camera, but more like be behind the camera. Like running the switchboard or something. You know, that's kind of easy. But like, yeah, so like, you know, being in the control room. I think that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that, and that's what I'm currently going to school for. So
that's probably what I should have gone to school for.
Oh, cool.
So yeah, I definitely agree with you, Stuart. Okay, I guess quickly answers for other people.
We got two. One from page to screen. I would love to be creative as I am, and would have people put a good use. Okay. All right. And have people put it to good use: writing, photography, and podcasting. So basically, what he does.
So he would be a modern day audio video Ebert.
Yeah. Okay. Next.
I like Deshane's here. I would be an engineer, but not designing, but living in the first moon base. It doesn't look likely in my lifetime.
Oh wow.
Yeah, that definitely would be cool and extremely geeky. Alrighty, so that's it.
Yes.
What's next week's question? Quickly.
Next week's. I think we're gonna get some interesting answers on this one. At least I hope so. If you were locked in a room and could only do one geeky thing for like a month that you're locked in that room, what would it be?
Oh, so I see. You switched up the question.
I added the word geeky.
Well, I thought the original question was if you could be locked in a room with somebody or anybody or something and do. Okay, no, I'm getting two questions mixed up then.
My original question was if you were locked in a room for 1 month and could only do one thing for a month, what would it be?
Okay.
So I added the word geeky in there.
Okay. Alrighty.
But so, if that would include another person, it could happen.
Okay, that's perfect. I'm looking forward to hearing the answers. So I guess
imagine some of them.
Yeah. Real quick,
Hey, Will, you there?
The Apple App Store and Google Market or Android Marketplace and Amazon App Store, wherever you get your apps. Facebook, Twitter, and Google Plus, just, you know, search for us, Geeks FTW or the Geeks FTW. Voicemail 1-347 Geek FTW. That's 1-347-433-5389. And of course, emails thegeeksftw@gmail.com. And all this information will be on each and every show post on the website, you know, thegeeksftw.com. And I guess we can get into shout outs. Henry, shout outs.
Oh, yeah, man. Just shout out to you guys. Shout out to everybody I've been playing Gears of War with. Van Red, Paladin, Rashani, Scarfinger, Deshane, just everybody out there, man, is a Gears fan. Indifference, Big Rob, can't think of his name. I think it's Sinister R. A bunch of other people. Just shout out to everybody, man, who's playing Gears and who are about to play Forza Motorsport 4. Shout out to all my car club guys who are at the job. Shout out to everybody who is at my job, who we have frequent conversations together with. Shout out to Jonathan Lindsay. Shout out to William Owens. And shout out to Jason Wright. And I guess I will see everybody online. Hit me up. And let's do it. Shout out to the galaxy.
There we go. I was waiting for that. but I guess, Stuart, shout out.
Not really a shout out, more like a shout down to actually the people of Forest Versa for not having their servers online.
What?
Have you tried to do any of the online stuff?
No, Asa called me earlier. I've been in Auto Vista mode the whole time, trying to get
If you try to go to like the storefront or like try to post track times, you can't because the servers are down.
Everybody's probably on, man. I'm really surprised about that, man. Because usually least, car games really don't.
At least they were when we started the show. So.
Oh, okay.
They might be up now. Hope so.
Yeah, I'm just trying to race these last four cars so I can get my Warthog, my Halo Warthog.
Yeah.
Out of Vista mode.
Yeah, it kind of sucks. You have to unlock them all to get.
I don't care.
You forget he's a Halo fanboy.
True. Very true.
So that's it.
I definitely need to look into creating a OFR car club. So that somebody needs to get on that. So
yeah, I think Ace is going to get one. So we need to get with Ace.
Okay.
Because I think he's gonna do it.
An OFRN car club.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Most people forget it's Open Forum Radio Network, not just Open Forum Radio. And that really
bugs
me.
The Open Forum Radio Network includes OFR Proper, OFN Sportscast, Prove Your Point, Inger Minimum Podcast, Who Am I Radio, Section Z Podcast, Truthfully Geeking, still vote for Nikki. WOFR, which includes Lag Free, Know Your Gamers, Chicago Sportscast, Guide Button, The 40 Cast, Knox Broadcast, which includes What Does God Say, Love and Learning Podcast, Animal Brothers, The Family Variety Hour, From Page to Screen, which includes Media, Livecast, and Spotlight, and Geeks for the Win.
Yes. Unfortunately, we decided to shut down We Are Geeks.
Not shut down completely.
Well, not. I was about to get there. Yeah. I mean, just shows weren't coming out. People were just busy, and you know, it was just wasn't happening. So, we decided not to try to have crazy, you know, confuse people and have them subscribe to different feeds and all that crazy stuff. So, I told all the writers if they want to still send in a recording, we'll put it on the main show, you know, like in between something or something. I'll figure it out. I'll figure it out some way in editing. So, you know, but they still have a way to, you know, podcast or geek out, audio form, something. So whether or not that'll happen, we'll see. That's up to them. So, and who knows? Maybe We Are Geeks will return someday. I don't know. No one knows for sure. But as far as shout-outs for me, I really don't have any. Definitely shout-outs to Henry for coming on. I'm glad to have him back.
Welcome back.
Definitely. Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Oh, man.
I guess shout-outs to everyone in the Open Forum Radio Network for doing what you're doing. And shout-outs to Samsung, because tomorrow I get my phone, and I've been waiting for this phone for like 6 months, ever since it was released in the UK. And
there is a quick look of it on Tessa.com. They do a full-featured video.
But don't go there. Wait, and come to the geeksforthewin.com, because I will be doing some stuff.
William will be doing extra stuff, stuff that they don't do.
Exactly. Wait, now I have to go watch them to see what they don't do. so I can do it. Curse you. But yeah, that's basically it. I guess, you know, this has been episode 62 of the Geeks for the Win podcast, a normal episode, and we will see you next week.
Comics! Marvel Comics!